Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And it's even partier today. It's a Friday, a Falcons Friday from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Rick Kamla and Randy McMichael. John Michaels is in Jersey. We'll talk to him at 1. And we are at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We love it here because the servers, the food, the billionaire bacon burger, all of the fantastic stuff. One of the greatest locations in Atlanta. And Randy, we have so much football to talk about. We have 10 pounds of football in a 5-pound bag. How are we going to do this?
We're going to figure it out, Rick. This is the great time of year right now. And just like you, I'm a football junkie. So I did sit down and watch multiple preseason games last year. But, yeah, this is a good time. And I'm going to try this bacon burger. I think I may have had it once, but I've heard you talk about it the other day. And with Hugh and them, I think, in the handoff. So yep. I guess I'm going to have to try it today because I'm just here to see Preacher Man eat wings.
18 naked wings, to be exact. He devours them in 3, 2, 1. They're gone. The billionaire bacon burger is stupidly ridiculous. You have to get a side of barbecue sauce with it.
No, I'm good on
that. You don't like the barbecue sauce with the bacon burger?
No, not really.
Right, I usually get the ketchup.
I usually get the Philly here when I'm up here, up in there.
But, that's what John gets every time.
Yeah, I usually get the Philly. But I'm going to try this bacon burger today just because – the excitement on your face, and I'm looking at you right now when you talk about it.
Well, did I have you with the bacon goes outside the bun?
Oh, that's always the best.
Like the bun can't contain the bacon.
That's the best part about it. Is that part about that. But, no, I'm really looking forward to it. Ate a light breakfast, just some oatmeal, so I'm ready to go up under some food right now.
Go up
under.
Well, we're going to go up under this thing called the NFL. All kinds of Falcons breakdown here on a Falcons Friday. Of course, they're going to be balling against the Jets tonight. Pre-game coverage at 5:30 and the kickoff for MetLife Stadium with West Durham, Dave Archer, John Michaels at the call at 7:30. So we're psyched about that. We got Carmelo in our news here and what's up. Obviously, the Braves take a setback yesterday. Huge series with the Brewers coming up starting tonight. We'll talk about the Tiger of it all as well. As we say good morning to the Preacher Man. The Preacher Man is out here as well. Autographs, bro hugs, pictures, talking sports, whatever y'all want. Come hang out with us.
What up? How's everybody doing today?
Chilling, man.
Doing good, man.
Couldn't be better.
Doing good.
Everybody was talking. Randy and I were talking about our drives to work this morning, asking me how it was, and I was telling him I haven't been on 400 probably in like 9 months, so it was an adventure.
It's treacherous.
It's been a while since I've been on 400.
I'm not a fan of 400 anymore because he's like, well, how do you come to work? And I said, whichever way Waze tells me to come to work because it's always updating traffic, so it gets me there as fast as possible.
See, people like him that drive like him and drive like Mike Bell and all these other wild people on the road, you probably.
Charity, not me, Charity.
My wife. Waze is better for them because in a split second, they can tell you turn left and you're all over in the right-hand lane, and they will find a way to get over there. So I'm good on that. If whatever that the girl on my iPhone can't get me here, then I'm good.
I thought it was Siri. Isn't it Siri?
I call that girl because she's irritating because she always gives you something wrong, dude.
What are you talking about?
She sent me down Jimmy Carter to come up here instead of sending me down like Indian Trail. I'm all the way on Jimmy Carter to get stuck behind this big truck. And now, yeah. I mean, it's just irritating.
Now, Randy, if you use Waze, you wouldn't have got stuck like that.
I can't do that.
Randy, it's not her fault. The technology dictates what she says to you. It's not like there's a person and they're messing with you.
Well, I have to blame her. I don't have anybody else to blame, but I don't know those people who need the technology.
That's
Rick.
A good point.
The problem with your technology is it does not have live updating. It's just you plug in a destination, they figure out your path, and that's the way they send you. They don't change it while you're driving.
Well, they got a new thing now where it says similar ETA here or something like that.
Different route. Yeah.
So I was
you can do that on Waze also.
But I got here faster than I thought I would, though, so it wasn't bad.
All right, so we're settled in here at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. We have Mark Owens back at Arkea Studios. M.O., let's say hi to you, man. How you feeling? You're back to work. I assume you're feeling a little better today?
Yeah, I am. Just one of those random – you ever get like those migraines and you can't explain why? It's not from lack of sleep. It's not from drinking. It's not from being exhausted. It's just a migraine sets in. And I had a pretty bad one yesterday, but I'd be amazed. A couple of drinks, and I feel much better. But I will tell you this, coming up at 10:40, this week's Week in Review – there's only one way to describe it, idiotic. Straight up idiotic. And you'll hear it in read between the lines coming up at 10:40, and that's what's up.
What the f*** is going on?
The sports world never stops.
So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, homie?
About time. We've been getting after each other a good bit. And like I said, it always feels good to go after someone else and pretty much play ball and, like I said, put our style of tape on film.
Our Falcons are ready, baby, tonight against the Jets at MetLife Stadium at 7:30. It goes down. We're not going to see much of Ryan. We're not going to see much of Schaub. It's going to be the Benkert versus Grayson show. But I'm stoked to see the rookies, man. You know, Calvin Ridley and Ito Smith and Deidre Sanada and Isaiah Oliver, even going all the way to Foye Aluakin and Russell Gage. I mean, all six of these guys, you can project them being a part of the plan this upcoming season.
Oh, I see that, man. And we always know this. There's always going to be that undrafted guy too, Rick, that one day that shines and that nobody talks about it until they actually get to see him in pads. That's what I love to see about the preseason is that when you see these guys going against each other and you finally you get the look down or whatever, what are you going to do when it's an opposite color jersey across from you? I mean, I played a long time, and I mean, I've been through 11 preseasons, and the first game, you're always excited about it. I mean, even if you're an 11-year veteran, you're excited about those first four or five plays, and you let me get up out of here and put my hat on, get my sunflower season, watch these young guys do it.
Talk about – and now that's the veteran mentality. Talk to me about that rookie mentality.
Oh, man.
When it's your first preseason game, you haven't even played a regular season game yet. Are you more trying to prove something to you, or is it, I got to make my coaches happy so they play me?
That's the main thing right there. I got to do what I need to do to show these coaches that I can progress in this thing. I still remember like it was yesterday at Tampa. And I caught my first pass. I remember trying to jump over like three people. They got up and did a little shake. But I just remember that process of this is a dream. And even as a rookie, you know it's preseason, but you don't look at it. It's game day. It's an amazing feeling. And I'm happy for these young men to get this opportunity.
You hit him with the shimmy?
Oh, I hit him with the shimmy, Rick. I caught an out route on the 10, and I caught it at the 2, and I went to jump and got tripped and fell down at the goal line. And got him to do a little shimmy. And then,
give him a little shimmy?
A little shimmy.
Bernie Parmalee or somebody come and dot the I for you? Who was the
I'm
RB?
Not that damn old, Rick.
I keep going with all
not
these old
that
Dolphins.
Damn old.
I asked Randy before the show because, you know, there's been too many parties for me. I lose track of decades. But I said, did you play with Marino? And what did you say?
I'm not that damn old, Rick.
I love
Travis Miner came in to score the touchdown next week.
Travis Miner. That's a great blast from the past. So, look. I love the morning show, man. Apparently, we need to do better communicating between shows. Because I pop on the morning show this morning, John and Hugh and Wendy and Daryl and the whole gang, AT, love those guys and girls. And I hear, you know, hit us up on our poll question of the day. Which rookie are you most excited to see? I'm like, wah, wah, wah. I put on a poll last night, ladies and gentlemen, some 14 hours ago. Falcons fan. Falcons fan. Yeah, I want one vote. Falcons fans, which rookie are you more jacked to watch versus the Jets? And obviously it's Calvin Ridley winning
right,
at 76%. Yeah. But the reason I did this was to find out between Ito and Sanat and Oliver how that stacked up.
Right.
And Sanat is in second place at 11%. Isaiah Oliver third place at 10%. I'm a little surprised that Ito Smith isn't getting more love. Only 3% saying they're excited to watch him.
Well, I mean, because he's the guy that nobody – I don't want to say you don't know – you don't know a lot about him. These other guys, you know that they play premium position that they need. When you look at that running back position, the Falcons are set with a two-headed monster, but they're going to need this young man to come in and step in and maybe do a couple trick plays. I mean, he's a guy that, Rick, you want to get him the ball in space and let him do his thing. I look at him, and we're going to talk about it later about the different return duties. I look at him as a possibility as being a starting kick returner for this squad because
me too.
He's a little stocky guy, but he's a running back, but he can make you miss an open field.
All right, so it is a Falcons Friday here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Again, the game coming up at 7:30. Let's downshift it to some Braves, and then let's try to give you $1,000. Our Braves take the setback yesterday to the Nationals, really a buzzkill game. You couldn't watch it on TV, so there was that aspect of it. But for the second time in this damn series against the Nationals, we have a pitcher get drilled on a comebacker, have to leave the game. The only two, well, I mean, it was a 2-2 series with the Nats. The two games we lost our starter early in the game.
They got rocked for that ball too, man. And then Parsons comes in. He did all right. Well,
Until he didn't.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing with this squad now, Rick. They got to find a way to get the if you're going to say this is our starting rotation, you got to keep these guys healthy.
Two key. Huh? Bring them up?
Why not? But I'm just saying it's a revolving door right now with Gwinnett right now, Rick. I mean, every time one of these guys come up for Gwinnett, what's the usual stat line? The youngest player to ever to pitch in the majors. I mean, that's right. Somebody that's happened all year for this team. But if this is the, if this is going to be the rotation that Snicker's going to roll out there, they got to find a way to get him healthy.
It's crazy, too. So the Braves take that setback. One game behind the Phillies, yes. Entering an absolutely colossal series against the Milwaukee Brewers. They trail the Cubs in the National League Central. So the wild card standings right now, Milwaukee is the first wild card team. Then our Braves, okay? But we are only 0.02 of percentage points ahead of Arizona and L.A., the top teams in the NL West. There are four teams bunched up, separated by one game in the wild card race. Brewers, Braves, D-backs, and Dodgers, and the Brew Crew will be here for a three-game set over the weekend. We'll give you some details on that, talk about some starters. But first, let's try to give you some
now
money.
Now it's
for
time to
bucket.
Reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
fall. Randy, don't fall on your way to the bar in a little bit to get a soda or a glass of water. It's the best I could come up with right now.
That was pretty... bad.
It was pretty cheesy.
Yeah, it was pretty cheesy.
We're about a month away from fall in Atlanta.
Going there, you might want to say don't fall coming
look,
back.
Look, it's 10-11.
Okay.
I'm still shaking out cobwebs. I was up late watching preseason NFL football.
Uh-huh.
The material will improve as the day goes on.
I hope so, man. I hope so. That was pretty random.
The code word for this hour is fall. You have until 10:59 to text fall, F-A-L-L, to 72881. That's 72881. Yes, it promises to get even more chippy with me and Randy throughout the broadcast.
You know that.
The code word for this hour's National Signing Bonus Contest is fall. Text it now to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. And if you want all the rules, go to 929thegame.com/rules. All right, so the pitching rotation for this weekend with the Braves and the Brewers, as I scroll through my deal here, today it is Gausman and Peralta. Tomorrow it'll be Teron and Wade Miley. And Sunday, Sean Newcomb and Chase Anderson. Look, the Brewers are looking at this series just like we're looking
exactly.
at this series. Like, all three games are must wins, Randy.
I would love to see the Braves get two out of these three. Mm-hmm. I would, because like you said, Rick, they're neck and neck. Wild card, and then they're also neck and neck with the Phillies and the NL East, just like the Brewers are going with the Cubs. So this is a big time series for, and then they're at home. They've been away so long. This is a big weekend series for them, and just like last month we were talking about, well, that road trip is going to be extra special for them when they went and played Milwaukee. This is exact same thing.
It sure is, man. Can't wait to watch these games. Tonight, it's definitely a 2-TV night. If you're a big-time sports fan in Atlanta, it'll be Falcons and Jets at 7:30, CW69. And I'm not sure if it'll be blacked out on NFL Network, but I know NFL
yes.
Network
yes.
around the country is showing Jets and Falcons. And then, of course, we've got the Braves and the Brewers. Now, let's have a laugh about this, because the Hawks proved what a classy organization they are.
Right.
They made... a special commemorative jersey for Carmelo Anthony,
I loved it.
Even though he did not play a game here in Atlanta. They did shave a couple of million bucks off of what was owed to Carmelo. $25.5 million is his walking away money from the Hawks. But the Hawks tweeted out with a picture of the fine jersey of Melo. Hey, at Carmelo Anthony, your jersey is on its way. Good luck, fam. And LeBron James then said, with a bunch of smile emojis and laugh emojis, hell of a run in the A, my brother, at Carmelo Anthony.
That was so good.
That's good stuff,
that
man.
That was great. It was funny because one of my good friends, George Foster, tweeted after that, said, well, can I get a Rasheed Wallace Hawks jersey? Because Rasheed was here about as long.
I think he played a game or
yeah,
two, a couple
yeah,
of games.
But that was great, man. That was you can just tell they're having fun with it. And Melo, I'm assuming that he is already in Houston. I'm interested in how that, because you're placing him for a reason. Now, offensively, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Defensively is where I'm just like, Melo's going to be like that turnstile.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think he's going to stand in the corner. If he goes to Houston, he's going to stand in the corner and shoot threes and not do much else. All kinds of preseason football action last night. Geis is going to have an MRI today. Baker Mayfield was a rock star. So was Barkley. We're going to get into all that throughout the broadcast. But it's a Falcons Friday, and we are focused on our birds live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Should Julio play tonight or at all in this preseason? That's the start of our Falcons conversation next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
92.9 The Game.
I want to make sure that we make the ball the priority. It's such a big emphasis for us. And then past that, we are really looking to see, you know, where our CT grades come out on some of the new players. And can they play in a style and fashion that we really want to?
That's Dan Quinn on tonight's game and what he's looking for. He's looking for competitiveness and toughness. That's that CT grade that he's talking about. It is a Falcons Friday. It's also a Twin Peaks in Buckhead Friday. And you know what that means. That means we're going to come off the rails several times. We already have as we get back to work here on the home of the Falcons in advance of tonight's game at 7:30. You know, you calling me out about a terrible usage of the word fall.
Yes.
And the peanut gallery is chiming in here,
yes,
right?
Yes, my wife just texted me and said fall. Now, what she's been trying to do since whenever I'm on with one of you guys is that she's trying to win this money. And she actually thinks that I can help her win the money.
I love it.
So she's telling me that if she wins, she doesn't know me. And I'm like, can I at least get 10%?
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm like, I think because I work here, we're not allowed. And she and her excuse always is, how would they know? So I'm
with her.
Yeah, she's like, how would they know?
And you know, maybe you could just slide that one under the door.
Yeah,
maybe you could get away with that one. A couple shout outs before we get into this Julio thing. Curtis, we just met him. Curtis Dog ATL.
Not his Twitter handle.
He's a Lyft driver, and that's just the handle that he goes by. We also met OG, who is a driver as well. You guys are fantastic. My guy here, Curtis Dog ATL. He was telling me about how decked out his car is. It's like completely like Falcons customized.
Yeah.
He's got every like car accessory Falcon style that you can possibly have, man. So there is only one Curtis Dog ATL,
baby. That's how it should be, man. I mean, that's the loyal fan that you love, man. I mean, whenever I ride around town, you'll see those guys. I saw a Falcon Jeep the other day, dude. It was red and black, had the wheel cover on the
sweet
back. It was I was like, well, we know who team you root for. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, that's awesome, man.
It certainly is. So, Randy, I don't want – and, you know, last night we saw some teams be very judicious with guys. Tom Brady did not play.
Right. Aaron Rodgers didn't play.
Aaron Rodgers did not play.
Odell Beckham didn't play.
Beckham didn't play. You know, superstar level. So, to that point, I do not want Julio Jones to take a single snap throughout the preseason. Not just tonight. I want him, you know, doing the sideline interviews, you know, when they always cut away to the sideline when the game is rotten and boring and nobody cares.
Right.
And they're hamming it up and pushing each other and laughing about something. You know, that's what I want to see Julio. I do not want to see Julio on the field one time this preseason. What says you?
I would like to get him in for a little bit, at least a series in the third game. You want to see something like that. You don't want him just go – because if he's there – and if he's as healthy as he says he is and everybody's been talking about, let him play a little bit. Just a tad bit, not a lot, but just throw him out there maybe four or five plays in the first half, in the first quarter of the third preseason game. Don't throw him any balls. Don't do anything. Just let him run out there.
What's
and run
the
around
point?
I'm just joking. Throw him at least one ball. Throw him a little slant or something.
I was going to say.
Throw him a slant, catch it. I mean, the competitiveness in Julio, he's not getting down. He's going to try and truck a couple people. But, yeah, give him a little time. If he's there, put him in.
Okay, I'll go with your flow on that. Again, if it's a bubble wrap preseason here for Julio Jones.
I won't be mad if they don't play him. But
I'd be better with that. Did you hear the debate that me and John and Dave Archer and the callers were having yesterday about Julio Jones?
I did not.
All right, that's not the wrong answer. It's fine. You had other stuff to do. I understand. You know, ratings are on the line. Anyway, let's get to this debate here, Randy. So, look, and John and I have talked a lot about it. And everybody here has talked a lot about it in terms of the lack of touchdowns for Julio Jones. And obviously, we've documented it. The number of red zone targets for Julio Jones last year, I think, was 22, right in line with all of the other stud wide receivers and tight ends in football.
Right.
That's not the beef in terms of the amount of times put up to bat in the red zone.
Right.
To me, it's how and where you're put up to bat in the red zone.
Correct.
And to me, I want Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan is a little bit too careful in the red zone.
Which he is.
And I understand why. Dan Quinn preaches it. All about the ball.
Right.
So Matt Ryan does not want to give the ball to the other team. But I think there are some opportunities, Randy, where you do have Julio and he's got the corner, he's bracketed by a safety. But there could still be a window to high point that football to who and get him to go up and get that ball. Now, John and Arch said, nope. Don't want it. Arch got chippy with me, actually, pointing back to 2016, and we didn't force it to Julio then, made the Super Bowl, blah, 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 made good points, right? John was on that side as well. I need Matt Ryan to be a little riskier in the red zone when it comes to Julio Jones. Are you with me or against me?
I'm way against you on that. And this is why, because if he does force in everybody, man, he's forcing the ball. He's forcing the ball. And then you never – it's a no-win
situation. What if that chatter just – what if you could just – that chatter doesn't exist?
But this is the thing with the red
zone. Now, do you have a different response if that chatter and the hating on Matt Ryan does not exist?
I've always learned this about the red zone. The defense always has the advantage in the red zone because they got an extra defender, which is the back line and the sideline. So you can kind of condense it. A lot of them play quarters back there, and then the closer you get in, they play that little picket fence right there and keep everything in front of them. And use the back line as an extra defender. The thing with Julio is it comes back to what Sark does. It has at his game planning. And you look at a lot of the game planning as far as route running, the formations to start off in the red zone or a shift or something to get the coverage, you know, get them going back and forth like, oh, God, Julio's over there and have him running across the field. But I don't believe in forcing the ball in the red zone, because the thing about it is, Rick, when you're in the red zone, you want to come away with points. You want touchdowns, but you don't want to come away with nothing when you get in there. And forcing, when you force the ball a lot, that's those opportunities where you don't come away with any points.
Okay, let's split hairs here, because I'm not talking about Matt Ryan closing his eyes and throwing. I'm not talking about irresponsibility. I'm talking about
giving him a chance.
I'm talking about you've got Julio outside,
right,
cornerback, safety over the top.
Okay.
Okay, why? But if you perfectly high point the ball, mm-hmm, on the side, kind of like Ryan did at the end of the Philadelphia game, you know, maybe a yard more inside in the field of play, so it can't be intercepted.
Right,
Randy. The only play that can be made is Julio catches it,
right,
when he high points the ball over that safety and over that cornerback. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying be daring all the time and take all these risks. I'm talking about a very specific play that I need more of this year. Am I barking up the wrong tree?
No, not seeing now, because you've broken down what you're saying. You're talking about just throwing a fade right out there. Or fade, or that back shoulder throw to him.
The back shoulder, or just the jump ball.
The fade to Julio. That's not a risk when you have Julio. Yes, I'm with you.
Why don't they throw that ball?
I'm with you on that. They need to throw that. I said that a couple years ago. You remember the Tampa game down in Tampa when they threw it up there and Julio wasn't got it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I tweeted out, why the hell don't they do that more?
Yes.
I'm with you on that. But that's not risky.
I'm not talking about slant patterns into the traffic and into the teeth of the defense, right? Where
right.
the safety is and linebackers can drop back and all that. I'm not talking about all that congestion.
I got you.
I'm talking about on the sideline, you got two guys to beat, and we've got the freak of nature who can jump, and he's tall, he's got long arms. Nobody's getting as high as Julio.
I'm with you on that. But again, that's not forcing. That's not a forced play. That's a play that they need to run more. And when you talk about the bracket of how they play Julio, it's a lot. Like I tell people all the time, in all my years of playing, I've never seen a player bracket like Antonio Gates was. You know, like on a punt team, they have the double, when they have the gunner and they have them double vice. That's how Kansas City and the teams we play out of division, that's how they guarded Gates in the red zone. I've never seen nobody do that. They still don't do it to this day. What you're talking about, Julio, when he's at the X position or the Z position, which is the outside guy, you have a corner. The safety is inside. Even though he's being double covered, the safety is covering him more or less for the in-breaking routes. That's why the corner's a little bit more wider to prevent Julio from getting that route. Julio has got to do a better job of getting off that and giving Matt a target. But that's not a risky play. That's a play they should run at least one time, every time in the red zone. I'm with you on that.
That's Damn Good Dog, Randy McMichael, Rick Hamill here. We're at Twin Peaks in Buckhead on a Falcons Friday. We are going to be giving away a chance. You can come here and register for a chance to win Big 3 tickets. The Big 3 is tonight, Infinite Energy Arena. I mean, is there sports going on or what? You got Braves, Brewers, you got Falcons, Jets, you got the Big 3 in town. It's awesome. Look, it's us being here, the Preacher Man being here is reason enough to come to Twin Peaks and Buckhead. And then you have the beautiful servers.
Yes.
You have the amazing food. What was that?
We're down the bar open.
Asking
for a friend. Somebody
11
just
o'clock.
Text, somebody just text me.
11 o'clock, the bar opens up.
Okay.
So head over here. Anyway, we're balling here at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. We would love to have you along for the ride. Now, on Twitter, I put up a poll about that Julio thing. And 56% of people said they want Matt to stay careful. 44% of people are with me, and they want Matt to take a calculated risk or two more than he has been the last couple years.
And see, that's why I'm going back to how you described what you were describing. You were talking about the fade, the outside route like that, and that's not a risky play. That's a play that should be in there because of everything you said earlier. You got Julio freaking Jones over there. They should run that play more often. Now, does that have play calling or Matt being too careful? It could be a little bit of both, because mm-hmm. Matt automatically knows that, and you said it, Dan Quinn preaches the ball, the ball, the ball. You got one of the most accurate kickers in the NFL. Give him an opportunity to get you some points. Now, I'm of the belief I don't want Matt Bryant to be one of the top fantasy kickers in the league, because that means he's kicking too many damn field goals.
Right.
All right, when they're down there, they have got to find a way to score touchdowns. And also, they got to run the ball so much better down there, Rick. because I think if they run that ball, that'll open a lot of things. That'll bring that safety down away from Julio. That'll open up things for Ridley and everybody else.
And that's what happened in 2016. The backs were getting so busy in the red zone, and we were just cooking and scoring all those points. Rick and Randy chopping up the Falcons on a Falcons Friday. 7:30 tonight, the boot from MetLife. Wes, Dave, and John, who's up in Jersey right now, they'll be on the call. Another debate that I want to bring you in on that me and John and Dave Archer had, and Arch actually went with my theory here, which is very rare. I was very proud and excited about that. But I want Devontae, and I've said this going back to last year, I want Devontae Freeman to slightly adjust his playing style to make more business decisions at the point of attack. And it's more about his safety and staying on the field and his availability than the new NFL rule that disallows any player from initiating contact with their helmet. I need Free on the football field. I need him to go to hit the sidelines every once in a while instead of that last truck stick move on a cornerback. Are you with me or against me?
I'm in the middle of that because there's two things. One of my favorite coaches of all time was Art Valero. Art Valero was the running back coach at Tampa when Cadillac was there. And he had Steven Jackson in St. Louis, but he said that he would tell Cadillac, you're not the biggest dude in the world. You can't run like you're a 240-pound back, and that's how he ran. And that's why he didn't play. I mean, he's always has injured and nicked up and things like that. The thing with Free is, Free's from Liberty City. All right, that's the only way they know how to play down there. If you ever want to see some good youth football, go down to Liberty City and watch it. They got a documentary coming out, actually coming up. That's all he knows, Rick. That's where that running style is the reason why he is where he is now. So he doesn't know. Now I'm with you. I just remember 3 years ago that Indianapolis game when that linebacker got him, when he's running big through that hole. And that line, he didn't see that linebacker coming. Linebacker got him. He's got to find a way to run more safe. I'm with you on that because the concussion thing is a big deal with him, man. When you have multiple as a running back and you're not a big guy, you run so violently like he does. Yeah, I'm with you. Just, hey, ain't nothing wrong with stepping out of bounds.
I get what you're saying, and he said that as well. He had this quote, and we read some of it yesterday where he said, you know how Devontae Freeman runs. You know how I practice. You know Devontae Freeman's mindset.
All gas, no brakes.
And he went third person on himself like three times. But Devontae, we love you. We need you on the football field. Just a cup, not a business decision like Cam Newton in the Super Bowl, staring at a damn fumble and letting the game go away. I'm talking about a couple of smart business decisions, kind of like the ones Mark Owens makes in the Kia Studios.
And coming up next in Read Between the Lines, Kirby has concerns. Greg Hardy has UFC goals. And I have an idiotic week in review. That's all coming up next. Sports Radio 99 The Game.
And here we go from Twin Peaks in Buckhead on a Falcons Friday, 7:30 tonight. The ball game from MetLife, 5:30 pregame. And show up to Twin Peaks in Buckhead to have a great time with us. The amazing servers and food and drinks and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to give you a chance to register for Big 3 tickets tonight at Infinite Energy Arena. At the top of the hour, Randy and I are going to dive right back into the Falcons discussion. I want to know from Randy McMichael if the Eric Saubert hype is real. But right now, it's Mark Owens' turn. He is in the Kia Studios ready to fire up Reed Between the Lines.
How upset is Johnny Michaels that Ice Cube was here yesterday? He was in the building. Did you see Mike Bell and a couple of guys from V103 posting pictures of them and Ice Cube? He was up here yesterday promoting the Big 3.
That's awesome.
Good for him.
Didn't y'all get a chance to talk to him?
We talked to him.
We did a phone with him. But I don't mean to get whatever. I've met Ice Cube a couple of times. He did not remember though.
Did I actually meet him at all?
I don't know.
You don't take it personally.
He trusts me.
He's 1,000 people a day and everything, and he's probably not good.
He's
with
a megastar. I don't take it personally at all. Now, if you forgot meeting me, I'd be super ticked off.
Rick, you forget everything from one show to the
other. That's a good point. You got me again. Damn, you're making good points today.
So don't take it personally.
I got to reintroduce myself to Tricky Ricky every morning. Hey, buddy, I'm Mark. Good to meet you. Been with you for about 3 years now. No. All right, let's get to it. Dan Quinn.
God, that's great.
Dan Quinn talking about the rookies and how much play they're going to get tonight.
One of the things that we're really committed to is playing, the rookies and the first-year guys. And I think if you look back on our history, our play time for the preseason would show that. It's such an important time to evaluate. We wouldn't put them in if we didn't think they'd earn some play time here during mini camps and training camp to get ready. So we're totally committed to playing those guys and seeing what they look like.
This is where you start right now with this first preseason game, because what you're trying to do now, Rick, is that you're trying to get up in the depth chart. You're trying to get in the game a little bit earlier. Say you get in, the first time you get in the game tonight might be the third quarter. You're trying to get in before halftime. Because that third preseason game, you're not going to get that many reps as you get the second half of the last part of the third quarter, all the fourth quarter. Then you're going to play the whole game, the fourth game. But this is where you try and move up that depth chart. And this is when you try to show the coaches that they can trust you, because the one thing that you want to do, no matter if you do it wrong, you do it full speed. because you can always compensate as long as you're going fast. And I think when you're a young player, and a lot of times they get so nervous in here because what you asked me earlier, trying to prove something.
Yeah.
Instead of just going out there doing your job. And you see a lot of that in preseason games, especially the first one with young players.
How long does Calvin Ridley play tonight?
I think Calvin's going to play because he's going to play with the, he's going to play with the first team. He's going to play a little bit for second team. I think he's at, after he's done before halftime.
So will he only, like, if Ryan and Schaub are the first quarter, and then it's Benkert and Grayson the rest of the game?
He won't be in there with them.
Okay, so he would then only play with the Ryan or Schaub.
Yes.
I see it the same way.
Yes.
But Randy Mack and Rick Kamla hanging and banging here. We got the Preacher Man as well. We're at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. M.O. back in the Kia Studios.
More Falcons. Deion Jones said it's been a great training camp.
Camp is always, with us, is always a grind. We're always trying to get each other better. And the matchups have been even better, you know, this year. You know, just competing with each other. And, I think we're ready. We know the style of ball that we want to put on film and the way we do things. So, you know, Friday should be fun to see guys fly around and play ball.
So when Debo says the matchups are even better this year in practice, help me out with what exactly he means.
Basically,
there.
He's saying guys have gotten better. We're going to get into a lot of the positional type things. He's talking about guys getting better. I guess Wes is getting better, making him better. You got another weapon like a Calvin Ridley that isn't like a Taylor Gabriel, can move all over the place. I mean, defensively, you got a new D lineman that's giving these guys a different look. That's the great thing about the NFL is that the locker room is different from year to year. When you leave that locker room after last year, some of those guys aren't going to be in there. And I think that's what he's talking about. Austin Hooper's getting better, giving him a better look when he got a guard tight end.
Saubert too, right?
And Saubert, all these guys have gotten better. So that, I mean, I know Dan says it all the time. Iron sharpens iron. That's, I mean, that's so true.
And that's what I heard there as well from Deion Jones. M.O. is just that it is a very, very talented team. So when it's mano-a-mano, it's usually a good matchup and a good battle. M.O., back to you.
I'm putting a poll up at our Twitter account, at RickandJohn929, at RickandJohn929. Our Vision Computer Twitter poll, Vision Computers, where an average hold time for support is less than 15 seconds. So the big question is, what do you want to see in tonight's first preseason game from the Falcons? Do you want to see lots of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones? Do you want to see very limited play from the starters? Do you want to see a lot of play from the rookies? Or most importantly, you just don't want any injuries? So go vote right now. It's our Vision Computer Twitter poll, at RickandJohn929. We'll get deeper into that through the next couple of hours. All right, Randy Mack, I want you to hear this. Here's Kirby Smart talking about his biggest concern coming out of camp and about camp. And we've discussed this a little bit, but as someone, damn good dog, who's been there, I want to hear your thoughts.
I'm excited. I want to get to the scrimmage Saturday to make judgments on some of these kids because a lot of them are swimming as far as mentally, but that's to be expected. It's not like it's unexpected. There's some really good competitors out there, and there's some guys in the young group that are really competing hard. Some leaders are starting to show up. We've had some good leaders. I think the biggest concern I got is that the best players play the best, and that probably hadn't happened so far in camp. We got some guys that I consider to be really good players that aren't playing up to their potential, but we've also got a lot of players who were twos and threes last year that I think are playing pretty well. So we got some good competition going on out there, and I'm excited about that.
Kirby is in mid-season voice mode right now.
He needs a lozenge.
Yeah, but no, what he's talking about, especially when you're talking about these young players swimming, that happens in the NFL also. You're overwhelmed. I mean, because in high school it wasn't like this. You know what I'm saying? In each level it goes up. Rick, the learning goes up also. And a lot of kids, they're trying to learn on the fly, but they're also trying to do what they're, you know, take it to the football field. And as far as these other players, he expects a lot out of the guys that were here last year on that squad. And that's when you talk about the growth, the improvement. And he doesn't see that from some of those guys. And that's the disappointing part about it. Not saying they can't get there because it's still early in camp. But if you were here last year, you automatically know what's the expectation of this team. Just because Roquan and those guys aren't here anymore, the expectation has not lowered. It's actually gotten higher.
Couple of things. Kirby said when he first got this job, nobody's entitled to anything.
Right.
If you're a 5-star, if you're a 10-star, if you're the returning starter, you're not entitled to anything. That's where that message came from right there. Yeah, you're returning starters, you think you're good. You think, no, we've got twos and threes that are really good as well, and they're coming for your money, and I see them coming for your money.
So you better see them coming.
Exactly. And I've also noticed another thing with Kirby. He is a fire lighter under his players, and that's the competition that leads to the fire lit under all these guys, to keep them motivated, to keep them from getting complacent. The open competition that we've heard Jim Chaney and Kirby Smart talk about at the quarterback position, not that Fromm is going to rest on his laurels, but it certainly is keeping Jake Fromm from exhaling and thinking that he's done something. Because if he slips for a second, Fields is going to get that job.
And that's what you love. That's one thing you love about college anyways, is because of that, what you just said. And there's a lot of people. Like in an NFL, you don't want competition at your position. Your first 11, you want that set right there because you're paying a lot of money. When you're talking about college and you're talking about the turnover that happens in that, and like you said, the five-star guys, because it's amazing how many of these guys come in with that mentality. I was a five-star. I was this in high school. I was that. And then you get to the next level and you still have that mentality instead of saying, you know, I'm starting from the beginning and I've got to find a way to improve. And a lot of these young men don't do that.
Well, you need to with Kirby Smart, M.O. You know that damn good, dog.
You are right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to hold off on Greg Hardy talking about the UFC. We'll get to that a little bit later. But for now, we do it every single Friday. We apologize. It's stupid. It's idiotic. It's also on our website, 92onthegame.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Friday Week in Review.
I am going to do more than tickle Rick Camlin. We blew it, and we blew it, and now we're not going to blow it. And if you didn't hit it hard enough, the ink wouldn't hit the paper, and you'd have like a little smudge there.
John Fricke was wondering about the box of it all, but Hugh wanted to know about the bush of it all.
John Fricke said he is very proud of his muff collection.
I'm going to line up my giant offensive lineman, and we're going to pound you. And they did.
I used to be a skinhead. I used to just shave it all off.
I don't think I'd use that terminology, but yeah, you used to keep a short haircut.
I get kind of the five-year-old boy haircut, okay?
Snapchat me real quick. Filter me.
I was getting reamed for like 30 minutes.
He's short, but he's not small.
Have you ever rubbed a lamp, by the way?
No.
Is it Moby Dicky?
It's longer than Moby Dick. Because all these games have a glitch, and the cool thing with online updates,
I don't like inflicting pain on myself.
Like you had to shove the paper in there and click, 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 and I was
like,
horrible.
Thump, thump, thump.
And stop with the name calling idiotic. Idioticness, and I don't even know if that's a word either, but we'll make one up as we go along here.
Idiotic.
Idioticness.
Idiotic.
Idioticness.
Idiotic.
Hiya, Ricardo.
Idiotic.
I'm kind of a genius.
Idiotic.
Thank God it's Friday.
M.O., every week I'm like, all right, this is the best weekend review that we have had. I think you've outdone yourself again, dude.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
That's pretty good, actually.
It's idiotic.
It's idiotic.
Randy Mack likes it because he wasn't in it.
Yeah, I thought I was in it when John Michaels put my – I told him to keep my name out of his mouth talking about Ty. I like looking at tight ends.
Well, you just made the weekend review, Randy. We're going to be playing that at in our one more round at 120. Randy, you just made the weekend review. Congrats. All right, is the Eric Saubert hype for real? A tight end named Randy McMichael is going to opine on a Falcons Friday from Twin Peaks next.
Dukes and Bell.
I thought I was in it when John Michaels, I told him to keep my name out of his mouth talking about I like looking at tight ends.
It's 11 a.m. in the ATL, and you're listening to Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mm-hmm. What was that, Randy?
That?
What was that?
That?
You like looking at
because
what?
This is the thing about it. Mark makes it seem worse than what it is, all right? Now, I've been on this show plenty.
Very good at it.
He's great at it, actually. I've been on this show so many times. And how many times has he actually been on there himself?
A couple times. Now, he definitely revels more in the misery and the embarrassment of others.
I just want, like, Preacher Man, like, sometimes can you find a way to record him in that studio where y'all are? Because I'm sure that he has a lot of stuff that could be on this on the review. Because that don't make no sense that everybody messes up with him.
There's no question about it. Mark Owens, you're as skilled as you are at the Weekend Review, you're even more skilled at self-editing, aren't you?
Hey, look, when you're only allowed to talk for 15 seconds an hour, you have a lot of greatness to squeeze in a short amount of time. So it's not often that I mess up in my short little windows. And when I do, I was in the Weekend Review last week. Go back and listen to it, 92onthegame.com. When I screw up, I will throw myself out there. But it's the Weekend Review with Rick and John. And now Randy.
I love it. That's Mark Owens back in the Kia Studios. The Preacher Man is out here with Rick Kamla and Randy McMichael. Yeah, I just went third person on myself. I'm inspired. Devontae Freeman did it. I'm going to do it too. John Michaels is up in New Jersey. He will be on the call with Wes Durham and Dave Archer at MetLife Stadium. That's what this is all about, man. It is the buildup to the first preseason game of the year from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. And I believe the doors have just opened up. So come on down here, get a beer, get a sandwich, get the Billionaire Bacon Burger, whatever you want. And you're going to have a chance to register to maybe win big three tickets tonight at Infinite Energy Arena. Coming up in our next segment, it is a Braves breakdown. We'll dive into the Braves, what happened against Washington, and looking ahead to this huge series with Milwaukee. But it's a Falcons Friday. Again, Twin Peaks and Buckhead, that's where we're hanging out. And there has been so much hype and buzz and production so far in this preseason from Eric Saubert, the second-year tight end out of Drake. Randy McMichael, I want to know from you, a damn good dog, and over a decade in the NFL as a tight end, is the Eric Saubert hype for real?
I don't know, Rick, and this is why. I mean, he looks good in practice. He does. He looks good at going against his own guys. I just go back to last year, and I was wondering. I was like, this kid has no business on the field. He's going to get somebody hurt. Because if you saw how he was getting tossed around, the penalty, he just wasn't comfortable in it. I know he came from a smaller school and everything. He's a phenomenal athlete. When me and you were together up at training camp, and I was like, he took off on a route. I was like, woo! Because, I mean, he's a big athlete that can move. And if he can, you know, be that guy, that second receiving option as far as the tight end position, they got something special. Because when you got two tight ends that can run like him and Hooper, that middle of the field, those seams, they can find a way to own that. This offense, there's no limit to the offense.
I mean, you've got these two percolating tight ends. You got the two fantastic running backs. We go, it's three wide, as good as anybody in football. We just have a little bit of an embarrassment of riches on offense. Now, listen to what Dan Quinn said about Eric Saubert. This was a couple of days ago. Quote, this offseason, we've seen that jump take place where it's like, man, you know your stuff. Let this natural athleticism jump out, and he's really turning into the pass-catching tight end that I'd hoped we'd see. I'm anxious for him to get a chance to see that because that role, he also has to be active and have a role on special teams, but he's long and he's fast, and I see now the athlete there. What is Saubert doing to let Dan Quinn see the guy that he drafted? Because what I read from that is that last year, Dan Quinn didn't see the guy that they thought they were getting in the draft room, over that draft.
What he's doing is learning. First of all, he's coming from small-time – not I don't say small-time, so a lower level of college football coming all the way to the NFL. And what you saw last year is that he just wasn't physically ready to take that going against grown men. And if you look at his preseason, the whole Rick, he looked like he was going to get cut. I mean, a lot of people, myself and clubs, like, he's on the bubble because of how he performed. They kept him around. Now, he's a guy, if you're the second tight end, one thing you got to do, you're going to have to play on all special teams. You're going to have to run down there. You're going to run and hit people. And as far as the second tight end position, when they go to the 12 personnel, which I love, which is the two tight ends, two receivers, one running back, you can do so many different things. Now, if that's the case, he's going to have to be able to block somebody, all right? Because more likely, if him and Hooper are in the game together, he's going to be the move tight end. He's going to be the guy that goes in motion that might have a kick out of linebacker, kick out of end, or maybe sometimes get in the backfield and lead up on a linebacker. So he's a guy who, if I'm listening to what you just read, he's a guy that this offseason, Rick, he took it serious. He took it serious. He got in the weight room. He got in the film room. He learned from his mistakes, and I'm sure Dan and the other coaches are very impressed with that part of it because last year, just like he didn't know what he was doing out there.
It's Rick and John, here throwing our midday party from Twin Peaks and Buckhead on a Falcons Friday. Randy McMichael in for John Michaels. And so what I hear you saying with Saubert is I need to see this translate to the field, and I'm exactly where you are. A lot of hype about him. He certainly has put in the work and connected the dots to get that hype and get that buzz. Now I want to see it on the football field. What kind of playing time do you see Saubert getting tonight? Probably a lot, right?
Yes.
He'll be out there with Benkert and Grayson, perhaps?
And he'll be out there with Matt Ryan, too. I mean, when they go, when they're in a passing now, they go a 12 personnel. If they go to a pass, he'll probably be out there because right now it looks like it's him and Hooper in that position and Paulson being strictly the blocking tight end. I think he's going to play with all the quarterbacks today because you want to get a player like him as many reps as possible, especially at both tight end positions, the Y and the F, because if something happens to Hooper, I think Saubert would move up to tight end one instead of Paulson. Paulson will be there for the blocking and all that, but I'm sorry, as far as the running, the routes and all those, Saubert will move into that spot.
I agree with you, man. So let's get into some other stuff here. John and I have been joking and about, you know, clocking the right guard rotation as we get yelps from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. By the way, we took a picture with some of the lovely waitresses here. I shouldn't say that, right? Some of the lovely servers here.
Okay.
That was like so 1977 of me, right? Sorry about
that. The waitress part?
I'm old, man. You can't call them stewardesses anymore.
No, you have to call them
flight attendants. Okay, so like what – like everything's changing now. I'm an old man, Randy, with too many parties. What do you call them? You call them servers, waitresses? Just servers.
You call them servers? Okay.
All right, the lovely servers here.
I'm with you, though.
At Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Just took a picture. Randy was hugging up on some fantasy football trophy that he never won. He didn't even freaking play fantasy football. I had a football in my hand, and three of the lovely servers were gathered around us. That picture should be up at 92.9 The Game on Twitter shortly. But you know how it is at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Okay, the scenery is a joke. The food is, and 27.6 degrees right now is the temperature of the beer.
I mean, there's nothing like a
frosty. I wouldn't know.
Nothing wouldn't like
know.
A frosty. No. But there's nothing like
I got
frosty.
My Coke Zero right here.
There's nothing like
a little
a
frosty. Water.
I mean,
but I'm just saying, if you want a 27.7 degree cold beer, it's here for you.
Yeah,
at Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
I mean, you know. Yeah, it's almost military time, Rick.
So I'm getting geared up. I'm getting geared. What do you mean? It's almost Bush time?
No.
Bush.
I'm out in public now, so they don't sell Bush out. They don't sell Bush in the bar.
It's because it's not good enough.
What do you mean it's not
Sorry,
good enough?
I'm yelping. I know Mark Owens is like, Pamela, stop it. I get geeked up here at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. But I got to keep it nice and low like this. Like I got to get my golf play-by-play voice.
You got to get your Vern on.
Got to get my Vern
on. You got to get your Uncle Vern on.
But Randy, you just made my point for me. I'm always getting into you about this Bush
beer. You're killing it. You'd be
killing it. And about, dude, you've got money. You've got zeros.
Like
you can, have a Heineken. You can have a Stella Artois. You could have a Terrapin 420. But you could actually get a name brand beer that's good.
I got you, Rick. But what I always say, okay, this is what I love about the Bush. They have the big cans, the 25 ounces, right?
Uh-huh.
Those nice, but they don't have those.
But why would you want 25 ounces where the last 12 ounces on a hot Atlanta day is like backwash?
Who drinks a hot? I mean, as fast as I drink them, they're cold.
Okay. We have gotten to the heart of the matter here. We've gotten to the heart of the matter. Like a good old-fashioned 12-ouncer is fine with me, man.
Yeah, I don't never let it.
Throw that baby in a koozie and I'm good. You need the 25-ouncer.
I don't give it the time to cool it, to heat up.
I love it. So I'm going to be busy tonight, Randy, watching this Falcons game. I'm going to record it so that gives me the ability to, like, rewind plays and, you know, and then catch up to live, you know, like during commercial breaks and stuff. That's just how I do it. I try to get somewhat scientific on this stuff. We were doing this last year, and John and I have been kind of eye-rolling about it that we have to do it again this year,
yes.
And that's clocking the right guard rotation between Schweitzer and Fusco and, like, backing up plays to see, okay, does the interior on the right side get caved in here? You remember Schweitzer was getting manhandled and just, like, bent back.
Yes,
it wasn't going well for him in the preseason. Obviously won the job, and that played out, but I'm going to be clocking – Fusco v. Schweitzer tonight in the living room.
When I was with you when John was on vacation, and you, the question you said, the position or the player who the upgrade or whatever, and my guy was Fusco.
The starter.
Mine was Fusco. I'm thinking that you're giving this guy this type of money, you see something in him that he's going to be your starter. And as training camp going on and you start reading the notes and everything, you're seeing that Wes is in with the first team. I wrote this down, tweeted it too. I was like, either Wes has gotten better, which is possible. Or Fusco just wasn't that dude that you thought it could be. And I'm going to, you know, and I want the Falcon fans and everybody to go with Wes has gotten better.
Yeah.
Than they missed on Fusco.
Arch has been
because
preaching
I'm just telling you right now, I've seen it. I've given this example before. I've been on teams where one year you're like, who the hell did they draft? And then you get an offseason in. And then you see they're watching film and they're breaking down their performances last year. And they know what they need to do to get better. And I'm going to go with Wes has done that.
Yeah.
Then Fusco wasn't a good free agent signer.
I have no choice but to go with that because Schweitzer has done what he needs to do to earn that right.
Right.
To be at least – it's unofficial,
right.
But at least a preliminary – oh, my God.
Yeah, that word.
In a preliminary fashion, be the guy that is with the ones. Now, obviously not in cement. I did some contract – research on Brandon Fusco and found out that it's actually a one-year deal.
And I figured that,
yeah,
too.
So in effect, it looks like 3 years, 12-plus million. It's a one-year deal. Now, if he becomes the starter and kicks butt, it'll be a three-year, 12-plus million-dollar deal for him.
Correct.
If he gets beat out by Schweitzer and he's a backup right guard all year, they're going to cut him
the
offseason because they've got an out in his contract after this year. It's essentially a one-year look-see deal on Fusco.
That's all it is, Rick. And when you brought him in, I mean, it was all about, well, he's been in this system. He was with Kyle. He knows the terminology and all these things. Well, Schweitzer was with Kyle. Schweitzer was in this system last year and got his lumps. And he caught a lot of lumps last year, Rick. Let's just be honest. And the reason I say I was talking about Fusco was a lot of times last year you saw Matt, especially when it was a straight drop back, he was having to be moved off his spot. Instead of, you know, that back foot hook is coming out. Now you got to sit there, and that pressure right there at the right guard position is making you move off your spot. And as a professional quarterback, talking to professional quarterbacks, you ask them all this. And everybody knows they don't want pressure in the middle. We know that. But they said the slightest move to your left or right will throw the whole play off. And that's what they did. I thought they were trying to bring with Fusco.
It's a game of inches, man. It's also a game of money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
signal. So Mark Owens didn't have any signal right there and nailed it. And John and I are trying to pump fake him like Dwayne Wade. You know, on that little top of the key, that little right to left, like crossover, and then he gives you a little pump fake.
Uh-huh.
Like we haven't been able to do that yet, though.
I thought you said it was going to get better with the code word, because that was about as bad as the fall one.
What are you talking about? I'm trying to give Mark Owens a compliment right here. I thought it was a lot better than the fall one.
Nah.
I gave my guy a code. Okay. Earmuffs, Randy. let me give the code word here. The code word for this hour, hater, is signal. All right? S-I-G-N-A-L. Signal is the code word for this hour. You have until 11:59 to text signal to 72881. That's 72881. Text signal to 72881. It is the code word in our national signing bonus contest this hour. Trying to give you $1,000. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. And if you want the rules, go to 929thegame.com/rules. Rick Kamla and media member Randy McMichael here at Twin Peaks in Puckett. And tell me what it means that look, we've had so many fun angles to talk about with these Falcons, and I've been meaning to talk about this with John for like 3 days. So the depth chart for the Jets game comes out. Duke Riley on the first team as one of the three linebackers. Is that surprising to you? Did you fully expect that? Talk to me about Riley being listed with the ones.
I fully expected that. Yeah, I mean, and I saw. I think it was you that tweeted out, were you surprised by it? Surprised by what? He was a starting linebacker last year. So, I mean, it really
not
was,
the whole year, though.
Because they got hurt.
Yeah.
He got hurt. And then, like, if you look at last year's preseason, him and Devondre, they were rotating in at that nickel linebacker opposite of Deion Jones. This year, I think right now it's going to be Deion Jones, definitely. Devondre made a case that he doesn't need to come off the field. After his play last year, he's making that play where I'm not coming off the field. And that's the great thing about competition, because the first day we were up there, we saw a little bit of team, the first play of the nickel that we were out there, it was Debo and it was Duke in there. So they're going to still rotate those guys in, but I think Devondre's going to get the bulk. But to talk about the versatility of this defense, they're going to be guys all over the place, in and out the lineup. And that's why I think this defense has the capability of being a top 7-8 defense in the league, because they got so many guys that you can plug and play.
I agree. And speaking of the interchangeability, they experimented at least early in training camp with the line of Tack McKinley, and in theory, because he wasn't there, but Tack and Grady and Beasley and Devondre Campbell.
Yes.
And then so obviously you would shrink either Sanat or McClain,
right,
and they'd be off there, Crawford,
right,
and they'd be off the field in that scenario. If they run that defensive front with Campbell, with the DNs, and with Grady Jarrett, then Duke Riley's got to be in coverage on running backs and tight ends, right?
That's exactly what's going to happen. Because, and I tell men on our show, me and John Chuckery, we were talking about something like the Falcon player that you're most looking forward to and all that. And mine was Devondre Campbell because of that, because they're going to let him pass rush a little bit more this year. And that means Duke Riley has to come in. Or you can bring Parker in, who's been able to be – who has done the nickel linebacker type thing in the safety. You can put Keanu down there and put Parker back there in his spot. I mean, it's so much stuff that you can interchange when you go to a lineup like that. And I heard you when you were saying that, yeah, Tack probably play over the guard there because he's a little bit bigger of the two defensive end that's in there already. So that's the fun thing that you're going to see this year is when those guys are all over the place.
You just mentioned Tack, and it triggered a thought. How much does he play tonight? Because
none.
We've heard he's getting closer and closer. You're saying none?
Oh.
Not a play?
No, don't put him out there. Put him out there. No.
All right. Just keep my guy healthy for the season to come. Again, the code word for this hour is signal. Text it to 72881. Our Braves breakdown is next. We're going to look ahead to the Brewers series, lament what happened yesterday, and talk about these Braves. Acuña keeps up his historic pace, but Braves breakdown next as we come to you live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead, the Midday Show with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Braves Country and our signal have the same reach. So, let's get to it. Play ball! This is your Braves Breakdown.
In the air to deep left. Oh, in the air to deep left. And that ball is gone. Ronald Acuna Jr. with a home run on back-to-back days. And he cuts into the deficit. It's 4-2.
That was the call on Facebook Live yesterday as Ronald Acuna goes ding dong once again. But our Braves take the L to the Washington Nationals. And this is our Braves Breakdown on a Falcons Friday, live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We just met Reverend Bulldog.
Yes.
Big moment in my career.
The Ram.
Big moment. Like, I've hung out with Shaq and Charles and Pat Riley. I've interviewed Cam Newton. I've done some, you know, we spent time with Warren Sapp on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. This is right up there, man. Meeting Reverend Bulldog? Are you kidding me? He's getting a big kick out of that. Reverend Bulldog, we took a picture with him and everything.
Yeah, man. He's real cool, man. Had a good time, a good chat with him. That was a name dropping right there, Rick. You put Rev in there with him? I ain't mad at you.
Only a little bit of sarcasm in there, Reverend Bulldog. Only a little bit of sarcasm. But seriously, what the heck, man? A comebacker sends Freed to the frickin' DL. A comebacker sends Anibal Sanchez to the showers. We lose both of those games. If we had our starting pitcher, we were 2-0 in that four-game series. Come on, man.
I mean, get out the way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but it's unfortunate, man. But we talked about it earlier, Rick. If this is the rotation that Schnick is going to go with forward, this is our guys, this is what we're going to do, then they got to find a way to get healthy, Rick, or just, hey, put them in the bullpen and bring some of these young guys up, because that's the biggest thing with me all year is that the pitching rotation, it's been like a revolving door, man. I said it every time one of these guys come up from Gwinnett, it seems like they're the youngest pitcher in Major League Baseball history, and they have to announce that like that. But it's unfortunate, but, I mean, when a person comes in, you're thinking, okay, then typical bullpen.
Well,
after
watching Parsons and McCreary yesterday give up 6 earned runs in 6 innings, I was wondering, where the hell is Sam Freeman?
No.
Where's Randy Mack's guy, Sam Freeman?
Sam Freeman. All right? Rick, and I'm sure he's a nice guy, and I know I couldn't do what he does, so this is – but –
The whole thing about he does something. Screw that, dude. You're a pro athlete. Look, I'm not. I never was a pro athlete. Not even friggin' close. Not within a universe of being a pro athlete.
Right.
And I take shots at jocks all the time. You're actually a jock. Go ahead, fire away.
Fire away. Take a shot. I mean, I gave him a nickname. So is that not taking a
shot?
Yeah,
yeah. Good point. Good point. But in terms of you like breaking down a guy in another sport, I feel like you're very equipped to do that.
Like that's why I said it ain't got that bad yet. that sad damn, because he's on the DL for they specifically come out and said what's ailing him?
So I'm sorry, I'm distracted. We're Twin Peaks and Buckhead, and Kurt Dog ATL is hanging out with Reverend Bulldog, and I'm like,
oh yeah, and
are those tater tots?
And they're fresh out the grease.
Oh my God, do they smell good?
They're fresh out the grease.
You got to hustle here right now. Twin Peaks and Buckhead. We're going to give you a chance to win tickets to the Big 3 tonight. Yes, it's at Infinite Energy Arena. Reverend Bulldog is here, for crying out loud. Amazing. Very, very easy on the eyes. Servers are here. You know what's up at Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
And Rev got that crispy DeAndre Swift jersey on. Like, it just came out the bag this morning. Like, hey, watch how I'm – hey, honey, I'm about to flip.
He's saying, nah, I've had it for a good 3 months. You got it on – Reverend Bulldog, come here real quick. We'll get back to the Braves breakdown in a second. I just want you to in full Reverend Bulldog voice, I want you to say hello to the people and tell them what they're missing here at Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I walked in here, my toes curled up. I'm going to have to call Sister Jenny and get her to get the iron out and flatten them back out for me. It's going to make your tongue slap your brain out.
Reverend Bulldog, ladies and gentlemen, and Brandon in Linden.
My main man, Brandon, has come up here. That's why I say he's my main man.
MVP.
With the 25-ounce Bush right here. But the more important is that I know he got it from a good gas station because it has the black bag. Ain't no thank you on it. Ain't no writing on it. That's my dog right there, Brandon from Lindell.
Brandon, say hi to the
Bush up here. My man.
He's usually way more verbose than that. Look, he's embarrassed.
He got shy.
I mean, these are our homies, man. We got Brandon and Lindale here. We got Reverend Bulldog. We got Kurt Dog ATL. And we got Brandon bringing gifts, man.
Yeah, man. He brought me two. So right here, that's about $3 right there.
$3 for $3. 50 ounces of terrible beer.
It's not terrible.
Okay.
Not terrible.
Are you – all right, this is a monstrous series against the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers are the number one wild card team in the NL.
Correct.
Our Braves are number two.
Correct.
And they're separated by one game. We are percentage points different. We're in a virtual tie with the Dodgers and the D-backs, and the Dodgers just got a huge blow. Their closer, Kenley Jansen, is out for at least a month. He's got an irregular heartbeat. Certainly wish the young man well and hope that nothing real serious is going on there. But Cat's going to miss a month, man.
That's a long time.
And so now that's a huge hit to the Dodgers bullpen. But Dodgers, D-backs, and Braves are in a virtual tie, one game back of the Brew Crew in the wild card standings. And then, Randy, I want to ask you about wild card versus like National League East, but we are one game behind the Phillies, obviously in the division that we need and we want to win. What are you feeling like right now as a Braves fan? Are you feeling like more kind of you're in the wild card lane, or you're feeling more like you're still in the National League East lane?
I think you're still in the National League East lane. I do, because I think what they're waiting for, because the Phillies are so young, just like the Braves, I think they're waiting for the Phillies to go young before the Braves do. Mm. And that's what I honestly think. Like, and that's why I think they're more in that line than they are in the wild card, because when you're looking at that battle between the Brewers and the Cubbies right there, it's going back and forth. Do you necessarily look at the Phillies and the Braves going back and forth?
What do you mean?
Like, as far as, like, they're chasing, like, you know, to me it seems like that Milwaukee is chasing the Cubs more than it seems like the Braves are chasing the Phillies. To me, it seems like the Braves and the Phillies are even.
I when you phrased it that way, I feel like it's a stare down with Braves and Phillies.
Yeah.
And I feel like with Brewers and Cubs,
the
Brewers have made all these moves. And they've been super aggressive.
Yeah.
You go get Jonathan Scope at the deadline. In the offseason, you get Kane and Yelich. They made moves to bolster their pitching. I applaud it. They want to win now, and they're going for it. But what they're going for is what the Cubs have. Do you see what I'm saying? And the Cubs are a team that won the title a couple of years ago.
Right.
They're a perennial playoff team now, the way that thing is set up. So I feel like every team in the National League is playing catch-up to the Cubs. Even the Dodgers, who were in the World Series last year.
The Dodgers playing catch-up?
Yes, because the Dodgers haven't – when's the last time the Dodgers won the World Series?
It's been a long time. It's been
1988,
a really, really long time.
When Oral Hershiser went bulldog on everybody. That's how long it's
been.
But
I'm talking about right now in the current state where the National League is. You think that the Dodgers are chasing the Cubs?
I do.
Really?
I do. And the Cubs have a better – yeah, I do. I feel like everybody's chasing the Cubs. Look, the Cubs added Cole friggin' Hamels at the deadline.
Yeah.
He's been brilliant in the two starts since they got him. Reverend Bulldog, peace
out. Take care, brother.
Man. God bless.
Do you see him having the same effect as, say, when Verlander came over to the Astros?
I do.
You see that?
Okay. I can't go quite that far.
Okay.
Verlander was filthy, Cy Young, awesome, okay? But like, maybe one tier below that. But look at Cole Hamels in the two starts since he went to the Cubs. He's, like, re-energized. You know how it is. What free agent pitcher has gone to Texas to pitch for the Rangers and hasn't gotten bludgeoned as if he was a Rockies pitcher up there at Coors Field?
But I mean, always, whenever you need a change of scenery, especially when you're on a team where you know you're not playing well, and sometimes that can, you know, that can jump down into your performance or whatever.
No
now
question.
He's like, I have an opportunity to win a ring here. Let me put my good stuff out there. And that's what he's been doing.
That's what he's doing, man. Not good news for our Braves, obviously, and the rest of the National League. I want to bring you in on a couple of polls that we had with the Braves here,
all
Randy.
Right.
I asked Braves fans, which starting pitcher would you trust the most in a playoff game?
Okay.
All right, you give me your answer, and then I'll give you the results on Twitter.
Okay.
In a playoff game. Wild card
another
game.
Topic,
game
another topic that me and Chuck Reeve had in our show. I say that about Sanchez. I say Sanchez. And everybody, I'm sure everybody gave me the same face you gave. Who do you trust? Do you trust Newcomb? Do you trust him?
Well, let me get to that in a minute.
Do you trust Folty? Do you trust Tehran? Who do you trust?
Let me get to that in a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
Why do you trust? Look, Anibal Sanchez has been.
I'm just talking
awesome.
About. I'm just talking about this year.
Uh-huh.
I'm not talking about.
Anibal Sanchez has been our most consistent starting pitcher this year.
That's why I picked him, because he's been the most consistent. Now, is he as talented as Newcomb and Folty? Heck no. I'm talking about. When you're talking about money on the line, this year's Braves pitching staff,
he's been the one.
Okay. And again, like, I shot you a look because it wasn't the answer I anticipated, but I'm not mad at you. And to that point, Newcomb won the poll.
Of course he did.
40%.
Of course.
Fulte at 38%. So it's essentially a coin flip between those two guys. Sanchez was third at 19%. And then Tehran, 3%.
Well, I mean.
So that means nobody trusts Julio Tehran in a playoff type of scenario.
Has he given you any reason to trust him? No. Uh-huh. And once again, you're talking about 40 and what he said, 38 for Fulte?
Yes.
They're the two most talented pitchers on your rotation, so I get that. But I'm just talking about, hey, consistent, let's give it to him. He gives us our best chance to win. I'm taking him. I'm taking Sanchez.
And Mark Owens actually took it a step further yesterday. He's back in our Kia studios with a Vision Computer Twitter poll because we couldn't fit Gausman, the new pitcher, who's going tonight, by the way, against the Brew Crew at SunTrust Park. We couldn't fit Gausman because on Twitter polls, they only let you do four.
Correct.
And so Mark took it to, well, who do you trust more, Julio Tehran or Kevin Gausman? And yesterday, the results that he gave me, while I didn't totally, I wasn't totally blown away or blindsided by him, they still kind of surprised me a little bit. M.O., back in our Kia studios, do you have the final results of that Gausman versus Tehran Twitter poll?
Yeah, at Rick and John 929 on Twitter, Gausman won the vote. And the question is, Braves fans going into the weekend, who do you trust the most? Gausman won 72% to Tehran's 28%.
I'm just telling you.
How about that?
That does not surprise me.
How about that?
I think he still has potential.
Randy, Tehran started.
I think Braves fans are done. They're out on Tehran. We see
out
him
on up. Him.
We see him up. We're out on this guy.
He started the season as maybe the most trusted starter, and over 4 months has become the least trusted starter.
I think
behind a guy who started one game in a Braves uniform. It's amazing, man. That's why we do this kind of stuff. And we are live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We want you to join us for lunch on a Falcons Friday. The college football cheat sheet is next. We'll have sound from Kirby, sound from Chaney. And I'm going to ask Randy, is Roquan Smith ruining the Bears?
Sports Radio 92.9.
There's something, ladies and gentlemen. I walked in here, my toes curled up. I'm going to have to call Sister Jenny and get her to get the iron out and flatten them back out for me. It's going to make your tongue slap your brain out.
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mark Owens is on his game back at Ikea Studios, man, cutting up Reverend Bulldog. That was from about 20 minutes ago. Reverend Bulldog was here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead hanging out with your boys, Rick Kamla and Randy McMichael. He's in for John Michaels. John's going to join us at 1 o'clock live from Sinatraville up there in New Jersey. Just had a nice conversation with Brandon and Lindell. We got Kurt Dog ATL here as well. People are starting to file in and gather around the bar, eat some great food, have some delicious drinks, and check out everything else here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. But our college football cheat sheet is brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up. Another way to make you smile at rsandrews.com. So we've got cuts from Mel Tucker and Jim Chaney as well. We're going to get to those in a second. But Roquan Smith is ruining the Chicago Bears. He is tearing down this traditional heritage franchise.
All by himself, huh?
Brick by brick.
All by himself.
Bolt by bolt. What is Roquan Smith doing? He might not only be ruining the Bears, he might be ruining the National Football League now.
I mean, it's a damn shame that players, you know, that it's always their fault when this happens. But it's, you know, and you're on that bandwagon of those people that think like that. So that's why.
I'm fully just in mess with Randy mode now because it's Friday.
Because
we're approaching the Ask Us Anything segment where we officially turn off our brain.
But no.
I'm just messing with you, man.
We always knew that when the new collective bargaining agreement came out, you're slotted, you get paid. But a lot of people didn't know about the offset language that's in these contracts. Now, last year they waived a lot of offsets for Mitchell Trubisky. You wouldn't want to do this for this guy? Because this guy is supposed to be the building block of your defense for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And let's not get it twisted. He needs to be there. He should be in camp right now because it's different for a vet. He's a rookie that's trying to come in and learn his defense and call this defense. So he needs to be in camp right now. And I go back to the old thing I always say. Your agent works for you. All right, your agent works for you now. If Safer, they give in to this, that could look bad on the agent sometimes.
Yeah.
But Roquan needs to be in camp. But if you're the organization, I mean, you can't wait that. And I understand they're talking about the helmet type thing or whatever, and I'm sure they won't take his signing bonus back, you know, if he gets in trouble or fined or suspended and stuff like that. if that's the case, then just put it in writing for me. But we've never done that before.
So you're telling me that there's a there's an inconsistency going on here between Mitch Trubisky and the signing of his contract and Roquan Smith.
Yeah, and I know it's two different positions. Like, I get all that or whatever. But, I mean, they waived offset language for him. And something they said they would never do and all that. Why can't you do it for this kid?
Now, was it the same offset language?
That's the thing about it.
Was it apples because to apples or apples to oranges?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say apples to oranges because they're two different positions. But you have waived a offset language in this guy's contract. Yeah. Why can't you do it for this guy?
It's a very good point. And I would say that Roquan Smith is probably the second most important Bear going forward to Mitch Trubisky.
Yes.
And I would also say, and I feel very, very confident about this, Roquan Smith is still going to be patrolling sideline to sideline at Chicago 10 years from now. I don't think Mitch Trubisky is going to be the Bears quarterback 10 years from now because I ain't sold on that cat.
Rick, me and you agree 100% on that. We agree 100% on that. But this is the thing. These two players are supposed to be your building block for the next decade.
Yep.
You got your guy on offense, your quarterback. And now you got your quarterback on defense, your middle linebacker. Get it done.
All right, so this is for the damn good dogs out there, Reverend Bulldog, Randy Mack, Mark Owens behind the glass in the Kia Studios. Let's play some sound and analyze. I love reading between the lines on this stuff. I also want to stick it to Mark Emmert, president of the NCAA, towards the end of this segment with this stupid proposal.
The dumbest.
So we'll get to this in a second. Yeah, Mark Emmert has stepped in a – actually, people are eating, so I don't want to be gross, but he's stepped in it again, okay? But let's hear some Jim Chaney coach. You like what I did right there? You like what I did? Y'all are welcome, man. By the way, Kurt Dog ATL absolutely pummeled a plate of chicken fingers and tater tots. And those tater tots, they look good, man.
Is he like eight?
They look, what's that?
Was that a kid's meal he ate over there?
No,
did you order off, like, the kid's menu?
Randy,
chicken
why
tenders,
are you hating? Some people like chicken tenders and
chicken
tots.
Chicken tenders and tots. Man, go get you some wings, man. Go get something with a bone in it.
Nah,
chicken
Kurt
tenders
Dog ATL,
and
I got
tots.
You.
He Come
wanted,
on, Kurt.
He wanted fingers and tots today.
Come
That's
on,
what he
Kurt
wanted.
Dog.
And look, he did not order that. You did not order that off the kid menu, did you? Nah. Tell him, Kurt Dog ATL. Randy, why are you hating up in here at Twin Peaks and Buckhead? All right, come down here. There's a million reasons to come here. The food, the drinks, the servers. But giving Randy a piece of your mind and a little bit of the business, okay? That's what we want you to do. And some barren gifts like Brandon and Lindale. Bush. All right, Jim Chaney, MO back at our Kia Studios. Let's get Chaney talking about his thoughts on playing two quarterbacks.
We're so much in the mode of training camp right now, just trying to get every player a little bit better and cohesively working within our unit and utilizing our base offense. The mindset of game planning and putting out two different offenses hasn't, you know, you think about things like that, but my mind is so far away from that right now. I just want him to go be all he can be, let us evaluate him, see what his skill set is, and try to utilize it to the best of our ability to overall help Georgia win football games. And if it ends up being that way, so be it. But that's a long way in the future.
So I don't agree with that. That's a whole lot of coach speak right there. I don't agree, and that's what OCs do. That's what head coaches do as well. I don't believe that they are not in private moments. I believe that those conversations and thoughts and theories have already taken place.
Correct.
Before they even started practicing.
Correct.
In terms of what Kirby and Chaney think that Fields may or may not be able to do to offset Jake Fromm on that football field. What's your take on that?
I'm with you. It is coach speak, and this is the thing with having Fromm as your quarterback and having Fields. You won't really have to change the playbook a whole lot. You know, now Fromm is nowhere near the runner that Fields is. But Fields, I mean, he ain't like Lamar Jackson type, you know, dual threat quarterback. He's a guy that can move and do different things. And I think I forgot who I heard say this. In college football, you can kind of get away with two quarterbacks, but you don't want to. You know what I'm saying? Now, you have this talented young man in B.J. Fields. I keep calling him B.J. Fields. One of my boys in college was B.J. Fields. But anyway, you got this talented young quarterback that does a different – has a little bit of different skill set that can give the defense some issues. But this is Jake Fromm team, all right? I don't want to hear about no competition. Kirby said, this is Jake Fromm team. If Jake Fromm does not win if Fields is a starting quarterback, something's wrong. That means that Fromm wasn't that guy that I thought he was. Because to me, I thought he's a natural born leader that's going to be here for as long as he wants to be the starting quarterback.
Well, you know how I've been saying all offseason, I think Kirby Smart should punish Jake Fromm for the boat incident, for getting the the hook stuck in his leg.
You were joking, right?
I think he should punish him for that. That kid needs to change. That kid needs to put himself in bubble wrap throughout the entire offseason.
Once again,
and just stay in a room.
Stay
healthy.
Is that to get me riled up, or are you just being sarcastic?
I'm completely just trying to get you riled up.
Well, I mean, you can't get me riled up about that.
There were some people who actually thought that, though. All right, you just mentioned not changing the playbook and stuff like that. Well, let's hear Georgia offensive coordinator Jim Chaney talking about not changing the playbook for the young fella.
Designing a playbook directly because he can run, I think it would be distorting from who we want to be as a football team. But it is give us some different things that we can't open up in the playbook. It does open some pages to it. So as far as strategy goes, it's another skill set that we have available to us to use at any time we want to.
Yeah, yeah. Those plays are in the book already. You just might not call them. Now he's in there. You call those plays. So, I mean, that's all it is. You're not revamping a whole offense to fit this young man's skill set. You just like, okay, well, we have this play here. He runs this well. Let's do this.
All right, good point, Randy. Now let's sick him on. Mark Emmert, NCAA president, they have stupidly proposed a new rule allowing elite prospects to hire agents, enter the draft, and then if they don't get drafted, go back to school. Now, while it makes a little bit of sense, they have jammed it down the throats of the NBA and USA Basketball.
Correct.
And they said, USA Basketball, we want you to pick who those elite prospects are. USA Basketball's like, screw you, dude. We're not doing that. That's not our job. The NBA is like, yo, let's just pump the brakes on this, okay? We just redid our collective bargaining agreement that runs through 2024. This is what John Calipari had to say. None of this goes into effect until the NBA and the Players Association comes up with something, and I'm hearing it won't be until 2022, so we're probably wasting our breath. Sick him on Mark Emmert.
Dude, this is the dumbest. When I heard this, I was like, are you serious? We all know that the most corrupt institution is NCAA basketball. We know that. But you mean to tell me that, you know, we know it's happening, but we're going to get out the way. We know that these kids are talking to agents, so we'll let it be somebody else's problem. We'll let them decide who the elite players are, so we don't have to. That's such a cop-out, Rick. It is a complete cop-out by the NCAA basketball, and it should be a shame of itself, man, because this is just dumb.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's not firm. It's not a law or a rule yet. It's a proposal that the NBA and USA Basketball, probably the Players Association as well, are just laughing at as they have a Mai Tai here in the offseason. We go around the 404 at the top of the hour, live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead on a Falcons Friday. We'll dive back into it. I read before the show, somebody thinks that Marvin Hall could be the fourth wide receiver over Justin Hardy. Huh?
Uh-oh.
We'll examine on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. John.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.